This story happened a long time ago when I was about 7. I don't think I have ever told it to anyone, and it was a very short incident, but it's been in the back of my mind ever since. Typically, my cousins would babysit me and my sister during summer and winter breaks. They were about 10 years older than us, maybe 15 to 17 at the time. One day, about a week before Christmas, they took us to the mall to do some shopping. This is one of the largest malls in my area, and it was usually always very crowded, even more so during Christmas time. The day went fine, and they even bought me a small ball which I started playing around with by bouncing it on the floor and catching it as I walked. Because of this, I was walking behind them, distracted in my own world. After we had finished shopping, we exited through the main doors, which were the most crowded, and just as we were crossing the street to go into the parking lot, some guy, my guess would be about 40 plus years old, grabbed me by the hand and started pulling me to a van right across the street. I remember the van very clearly. It was one of those conversion vans popular in the 90s with drapes on the window, red with thin gray stripes running through the sides, and van doors. One of the back seat doors was open and you could see a woman sitting on the driver's seat. She was about the same age as the guy, and you can tell that the engine was running. At the time, I didn't really know what was going on. I just thought it was weird in a sort of funny kind of way. Why is this guy grabbing me? As I remembered, I thought he just got confused and grabbed me by accident, thinking I was his son or something. So I shouted my cousin's name and she quickly looked my way. She was just a few steps ahead, and as soon as she sees me, she runs to me, quickly grabs my arm with both hands, and starts shouting as loud as she can. It wasn't until I saw her freak out face that I realized that something bad was happening. As soon as she grabbed me, the guy just lets go, gets in the van, and they drive away. They didn't really tell the cop or call mall security. They were teens, so my guess is that they didn't really know what to do. They were just happy nothing happened. As I said, this was a very crowded day. As I got older and reflected more on what happened that day, I would understand more and more the severity of the situation. I wondered what would have happened if my cousin hadn't heard me calling her name within all that noise and multitude that was crossing the street with us. I wasn't even shouting out at the top of my lungs. I just called out her name rather calmly. So I was very lucky that day. But later that year, a kid was kidnapped in a local park. It was a very famous case that made headlines all around the county. They never found the kid, and I've always wondered if it could have been the same guy. My grandfather suffered from Alzheimer's disease and passed away 2 days before Thanksgiving. My grandmother is now living alone, so my mom has spent a lot of time over there keeping her company and helping her out around the house. She went to her house on Christmas to go with my grandmother to church before the rest of the family got there, and while my grandmother was getting ready, my mom was in the kitchen on her phone checking Facebook. Out of nowhere, this old Christmas music box in one of the bedrooms started playing by itself. It was the very last part of the melody to Silent Night, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. It played that one line at normal speed and just stopped before it could loop. I'm a skeptic, and no music boxes can do this for various reasons, but hearing that it only played that one line makes me want to believe that it was my grandfather letting his family know that he was at peace and no longer suffering. Just wanted to share this story because even if it's just the mechanism becoming unjammed, it gave my mom a feeling of peace and relief when it happened. Either way, the story both touched and freaked me out at the same time. Hearing that would have given me goosebumps. I'm currently 18 and my dad passed away in an accident when I was very little in 2005. A couple of years ago on Christmas, my brother, mother, and me were watching a corny Christmas movie on Netflix for the fun of it. It was the 1998 version of Jack Frost, where a father dies in an accident but comes back to life as a snowman to be with his kid. In the other side of the room we were in, my mom had an iPod that was hooked up to a speaker. Near the end of the film, there was a scene where the dad acknowledges that he has to pass on and tells his family he loves them as he starts to melt. During this exact scene, the iPod somehow turned on by itself and started playing loud music, which startled us a little. We were kind of silent for a while after that, and we've never since talked about it. I think I can only remember it happening one time other than that, which was in the middle of the night while everyone was sleeping. Maybe it's a coincidence, but it's pretty odd that it happened at that exact moment on Christmas. We've moved multiple times since his death, too, and that happened in a relatively new apartment. If it was him, it was a pretty sweet thing for him to do. Before I go into depth about this story, it's important to know that I've been dealing with depression ever since I was 12 years old, and as time passed, it's got progressively worse. It's also important to know that at the time that this happened, I was in a toxic relationship and it heavily affected my mood. On to the story. This happened in December of 2015. I was 16 years old at the time and my depression was once again taking a dip for the worst. Despite this, and despite the toxicity of my relationship at the time, I did my best to talk with my family about the holidays. I don't have the best relationship with them since I'm usually a quiet person around them, but on that month, both my parents told me something curious. The first account came from my dad. He told me that a few months before December, he had been driving home at around 8 p.m., so everything was dark, and the streets were barely lit with lampposts. The neighborhood I live in is a quiet one, but we have very few lampposts in our street, so walking outside at night can feel really creepy. There are neighbors who own dogs, large ones, but they're almost always quiet too. So my dad was driving down the street, and as he turned onto our street, he said he saw something in the middle of the road. He had trouble making out what it was, but he described it as a large black dog. He said it was really furry and that its ears were upright, but when I asked if it was just a stray dog, he looked at me wide-eyed and shook his head. He said this dog was abnormally huge, bigger than any other dog he had ever seen. Its eyes were piercing through him as he continued to drive, but as my dad came closer to the dog, it stepped out of view. My dad had never spoken about it until about a week ago, and even then he hadn't actually told me about it before. The only person he had told was my mother. My mom is very afraid of black dogs because of an incident from her childhood, so when I asked her about my dad's experience a few days after, she told me she froze slightly and admitted that she had seen it too. Her experience was very similar to that of my dad's. They were both coming home late at night. She had just come back from working out at the gym when she said she saw a huge black dog on the sidewalk. She, however, asked me if I knew if any of the neighbors had any black dogs, as I tend to walk around more and greet the neighbors' dogs if they're friendly. I told her that there was one, but it was just a black lab. It was a medium size and chubby, far from the description that my parents had given me. When I told her, she looked at me frightened and asked that I look into it. She's a very superstitious woman, while I tend to rationalize situations more. Maybe that's why this scares me so much. About a week after, she came up to me again, terrified. She asked me if I had ever looked into the black dog. I told her I had, and that I only remember the American version of the black dog, that if you see it once, it means joy, and if you see it twice, it means sorrow. I never told her about the third part, though, as I knew she would go ballistic if she knew. From what I read, if you see the dog a third time, it means death. Anyways, when I asked her why, she told me this. The day prior to her asking me, she went to a Christmas party with a few friends, and one friend had offered to help her bring back some food home, as the rest couldn't. It was soup. After her friend had helped her, she was going back to her car when she suddenly called my mom. My mom answered, and her friend was already driving away from our house, but in the middle of the conversation, she abruptly asked if we had let our dog outside. We do have a dog. She's a tiny white Maltese, and we love her to death, but we don't let her outside as she was never fully trained. My dog asked, "What dog?" To which her friend said, "There was a black dog on your doorstep. It was sniffing the door and looked like it wanted to go inside, but it was a really big dog. Was it yours?" My mom didn't want to scare her friend, so she told her that it was probably just a stray. But my mom had the feeling that it was the same black dog that she and my dad had seen. I didn't know what that meant, with the dog being on our doorstep and all, but I later put the pieces together, and here's why this scares me. On the 22nd of December, I had attempted suicide. I won't go into too much detail as to what pushed me to attempt suicide, but it did come from both depression and the state of my relationship as a whole. I was very, very close to dying and had never told anyone in my family, I don't think I ever will. When I asked her when she saw the black dog, she told me she saw it on the 21st of December. The second she told me, I felt a huge pit form in my stomach. I did my best to hide my horrified expression. I kept saying to myself that this has to be a coincidence. There is no way that that black dog had anything to do with me nearly dying. But, looking back on it now, it is a really strange coincidence. It's a full year later. I'm 17 years old and doing much better than I was last year. I only remember this story because yesterday was the 22nd of December. I still don't know what to think.
When I was about 12, my great uncle John came from Ukraine to visit us in Canada. He had a lot of stories, but this was the one that stood out. In the late 1960s, John was traveling by train from his village to another to visit family. He had to change trains at one point, and was dropped off at what amounted to a platform in a hut in the middle of nowhere. There was no one else at the station, and other than a dirt road that led off into the surrounding woods, there was nothing there. He waited for some time, but no train came. It was winter, and it was getting colder and darker. And just about the time he started worrying about a place to stay and some food to eat, an old woman appeared. An old woman appeared out of the twilight. She asked if he was waiting for such and such train, and when he confirmed, she said it wouldn't be long until the following day. She asked if he needed a bed for the night, and offered him a meal and a room at her house, which she said was about an hour's walk from the station. Lodging with locals was more or less the standard when traveling in this part of the USSR, and my great uncle John wasn't looking forward to a hungry night on a cold platform, so he graciously accepted her offer. He took a suitcase, and they set off together down the dark road into the forest. It was more than an hour away, more like two, and by the time they arrived at the woman's small two-story house, John was tired and hungry. They went inside, and the woman lit up some oil lamps and warmed up some soup. This was the first time that John was able to see the woman clearly, and he was a bit startled to realize that the old woman was actually a man. Not wanting to pry and too tired to care, John finished up his soup and asked where he would be sleeping. She led him up the stairs to a tiny room with a window that contained a single bed and nothing else. He thanked her, and they said goodnight, and she closed the door. The door was then locked, leaving John in the dark. Somewhat creeped out by this, John called out to her, but she didn't answer, and he heard nothing else. Figuring that he would deal with it in the morning, and that she'd probably done it by mistake, John set his suitcase down and laid on the bed, deciding to make the best of it and get some sleep. Before he could fall asleep, though, he felt the urge to piss and got out of bed, hoping to find a chamber pot or something he could pee in. He got onto his hands and knees and began to feel under the bed in the darkness, thinking that that's where the pot would be if there was one. Instead, he found a body.
"Nope,"
Great Uncle John said, and went right to the window to see if he could exit the room. It was nailed shut. He knew that if he remained in the room, he was a dead man. But if he broke the window and tried to get out that way, there was a good chance that the old woman, and who knows who else, would hear him and come into the room before he could escape. So he did the only thing he could do. He pulled the body from under the bed, heaved it onto the mattress, and covered it with the blanket. He then got under the bed and waited. Sure enough, about an hour later, he heard footsteps coming slowly up the stairs and then towards the room. The lock clicked, and the knob turned slowly. In the gloom, John saw someone moving towards the bed. He then heard several horrific and sickening thuds. The person had bashed the body on the bed with a large crowbar, which they then dropped onto the floor right in front of John. There was silence. Then the person left the room, and the door was shut again. The footsteps went down the stairs. John moved out from under the bed, took the crowbar, and was able to slowly pry the window open. He didn't say, but I imagine he was shitting bricks the entire time. When the window was up, he threw his suitcase out and then dove through himself, not caring what was below him, only worried about what was behind. He landed without too much injury and began to run into a field behind the house towards some lights in the far distance. It turned out to be the highway, with some military and transport trucks on it. John was able to hitch a ride to another village where he could catch a train. He didn't bother reporting what happened to the authorities, since at the time, in the USSR, there was a distinct chance that he would have been the one that got into trouble. He just thanked God that he managed to escape, and decided that the next time he traveled to visit relatives, he would take another way. I'm originally from Mexico. For reasons that will become very obvious, I wish to remain anonymous. I used to be involved in the Mexican cartel. I mainly transported drugs across the border into the United States. To make a long story short, I was caught and cooperated with the feds in exchange for immunity and asylum. Before I go any further, you can go ahead and label me a snitch if you want to. I don't care. I personally feel pretty good about writing out a bunch of drug-dealing murderers that work for an organization that is responsible for destroying so many of my fellow Mexicans' lives. I was forced into this life at a young age. I've always hated the cartel, and was already plotting a way to flee Mexico with my mother and two younger sisters. You could say that it was a good thing that I ended up getting caught. This story is not about how I got out of the cartel. It's about the closest call I ever had during my time with the cartel. This happened during the early days. It was the summer of 2005. I remember the date specifically because I had just turned 18 a day prior. Even though I was barely an adult, I was a very intimidating looking guy. I come from a long line of very physically strong men. I've been lifting weights since I was a child. I'm an even-tempered guy, and I don't consider myself to be an aggressive person, but I will put somebody through the wall if they piss me off. It was because of my physical presence, and my piece-of-shit father, who was also in the cartel, made me a target for recruitment. When I first started out, myself and two other guys would drive around Mexico City and collect debts and packages from people who owed money to the cartel, or one of our distributors. It was on the fourth or fifth run that we ran into some trouble. There was this particular club we frequented where a lot of business was conducted. To make things simple, an exchange would go down in a back room, and we would come shortly after and collect the revenue and drop it off to our capo. So that night, we entered the club and began making our way to the back room. It was a fairly busy night for the club. This DJ from out of town was performing there, so people from all over were there to see him. To get to the back room, we had to go through the main dance floor to the opposite side of the building. There were some renovations that prevented us from using the back entrance. We got out onto the dance floor and started making our way through the crowd. When we were about halfway there, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. It was the barrel of a shotgun being pointed directly at me. I quickly ducked, and not a second later, I heard the gun go off. Unfortunately, an innocent girl who was standing beside me caught the bullet. She was shot at point-blank range, and I don't mean to be insensitive when I say this, but the poor girl's head was blasted apart. I remember several things happening simultaneously after the shotgun went off. All of the partygoers immediately fled the club. From my position on the ground, all I saw was a wave of moving legs. When I stood up, I saw a deserted club, my two co-workers with their guns drawn, cursing up a storm, and, unfortunately, the corpse of the young girl who was just shot. I assume that the shooter got away in the chaos. We quickly busted into the back office to find another bullet-ridden corpse. It was a club owner, who was our contact. We immediately fled the scene before the police showed up. I was never informed as to what happened with the club owner and who almost took my head off with a shotgun. I was on the lowest rank of the cartel, and they kept us in the dark about a lot of things. I'm grateful that I'm no longer a part of that life. I would like to end things by saying a big fuck you to that asshole who tried to kill me and ended up shooting an innocent girl that night. And to all of those cartel members who got locked up because of me. You got what you deserved. And I'll see you in hell. I'm a 20-year-old male, and this happened to me in the winter of 2018, the day after Christmas. Me and my parents were on vacation in Maine, visiting my grandmother. As you can probably imagine, being in the state of Maine during the winter, it was freezing. We came up from Texas, so this was definitely not my climate, if you know what I mean. My parents had gone out to visit a friend who lived in the area, while me and my grandmother stayed back and watched some movies. My grandmother turned in at about 8 o'clock, and I eventually got bored of watching TV, so I decided to put on my coat and go for a walk outside. My grandmother's neighborhood has this neat stone maze, complete with angel statues and fountains. It was really cool, and something you really don't see a whole lot in neighborhoods these days. My grandmother's neighborhood was one of those 50-plus communities. I doubt you could have something like this in a neighborhood full of kids without it getting defaced with spray-painted pictures of penises or something. For me, I actually admired works of architecture like this, and was impressed by the amount of effort it must have taken to construct it. It was open from dusk till dawn. However, my grandmother told me that there was no neighborhood security during the holidays, and no one would say anything if I wanted to go through the maze after hours, so I did just that. I brought a flashlight with me, of course, and it took me about 5 minutes to reach the entrance of the maze from my grandmother's place. The maze wasn't massive, but it was big enough that you could get turned around, at least for a little bit. If I could give you guys a somewhat accurate visual of this maze, think of the maze in Resident Evil 4, where Leon had to fight off those dogs and gather puzzle pieces. That's roughly the same size as this maze. When I walked through this maze during the daytime, I would usually listen to my headphones, but something told me not to put them on that night, and it's a good thing that I followed my instincts. After I'd say it was about 10 minutes, I suddenly heard the sound of metal scraping against the stone walls. As soon as I heard the sound, alarm bells went off in my head. I froze in place and carefully listened for any other sounds. The scraping noise came again, except this time, there was a deep voice that followed it.
"Abandon hope, all ye who enter here."
This sent chills down my spine, realizing that I was now in a maze, at night, with a possible maniac. The maze had these areas where a statue or a fountain would be. In these locations, there was shrubbery that lined the maze walls. There was just enough space between the wall and the bushes for a small person like me to hide behind. And since I didn't know the best route to exit the maze from where I was, I decided that the best course of action was to hide. I made my way into the area where a statue of David the Archangel was, and I quickly took cover behind the shrubbery that lined the walls. The streetlights located outside of the maze provided enough light for you to see your surroundings. However, it was still dark enough to obscure the details of objects and people. I feel that I needed to point that out, because from my hiding spot, I could see the corridor that I entered from. After about a minute, I watched a dark figure emerge from the shadows and make its way in front of the statue. I remember thinking how awesome it would be if the statue came to life and helped me out of this situation. But that thought quickly faded when the figure made its way directly in front of me. I could now see that it was holding something in its hands. I know that I said that you really couldn't tell any distinguishing features of objects because of the poor lighting. However, it was obvious what the figure was holding. Even in the dark, I could make out the distinct shape of a pickaxe. As the figure moved slowly through the area, I heard what I can only describe as teeth clattering. This only disturbed me even more as the dark shadow moved to the other side of the area and disappeared into the opposite corridor. After a few minutes of gathering my wits, I was reasonably sure that if I went back down the way I came, I could backtrack and make my escape. I cautiously moved out from my hiding spot to the corridor. I stopped in my tracks as I heard the sound of metal scraping again. It was coming from the opposite corridor where the figure had vanished. Before I could turn to look, I heard that same deep voice cut through the silence.
I see you.
I turned my head to see the figure running towards me, pickaxe raised above its head. That's when I took off through the corridor and frantically made my way through the dark maze. There was no time to navigate through the maze properly, so I just had to guess my way through the labyrinth as the lunatic with the pickaxe closed in behind me. After about 5 minutes of twists and turns, I finally saw the exit. I tore through the snow-covered ground and towards the opening. Just before I crossed the threshold, I heard a loud smash coming from right behind me. I gave a quick glance to see the pickaxe lying in the snow by the entrance. What I think happened was that my pursuer saw that I was about to exit the maze and decided to heave his pickaxe at me, but missed. As soon as I was outside of my grandmother's house, I pulled out my phone and called the police. But like with most stories like this, they arrived too late. Having experienced this myself, I can tell you that this outcome does make sense. My assailant failed to capture or kill me, so I don't think that they would stick around for the police to show up. The officers took my statement and did a thorough search of the area. They also had a squad car patrolling through the neighborhood for the rest of that night. I didn't tell my parents or my grandmother what happened until the next day. I figured that there was no need to worry them that night. I consider myself to be a pretty level-headed person, and that's mainly why I chose to share my story. Situations like this are terrifying, but you have to try to keep your wits about you. If I had lost my composure in that maze, I'm pretty sure that pickaxe would have found its way into my skull.